different verses inside that one. There was a couple of different people that wanted to sing the second verse and didn't want to sing the fourth verse of the one song. So it was all good. So it's been a good night. Thankful for that. 1 Samuel chapter number 24. I did forget to mention a couple announcements for our teenagers. Mr. Bateman is off serving, so he will not be here Wednesday night to teach. So the teenagers get the privilege of being in here on Wednesday night. So for this week and obviously for the week of the missions conference. So young people, just head out to the auditorium. If you have your verses you want to say, you can still say them to Miss Stacy. You'll still get points for the night for your the verses and the things that you, in your teen group system, but you will be out here with us in the class out here, in the room out here. Also, remember next Sunday night, you have a teen afterglow too. That is till 10 o'clock. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter number 24. So if you're on Wednesday nights, we do books of the Old Testament. We just got through Joshua, and then we did Judges. And many years ago, we did 1 Samuel, and we are transitioning to 2 Samuel after missions conference, but we are going to do a couple transition messages on Wednesday night to kind of help you understand where the nation is at, who David is, and what's going on in David's life. And as I was studying through that and reading through that this past week in my devotions and looking at it, 1 Samuel 24, the Lord just kind of spoke to my heart about the message for this evening, and I pray you get something special out of it. I know he's worked in my mind and life about it, and there's very appropriate and something we can apply to our lives today. Now, this morning I mentioned the title of being responding to ruptured relationships by faith. And I thought responding to ruptured relationships is kind of a tough thing to say over and over. So you could call it responding to your enemies by faith. Our theme for this year in 2018, now it's by faith. And we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11 a number of times on Sunday nights. But one of the people that we want to look at tonight is David and how he responded to Saul. And I believe he's doing this by faith. He's believing and trusting in God. To give you a little bit of a background, Saul here is king of Israel. He was the first anointed king of Israel, but because Saul and his disobedience, what he considered was disobedience, but God considered it disobedience because he only did a portion. And we're going to look at that this coming Wednesday night. I believe it's in 1 Samuel 15. Well, Saul here is anointed king, but he knows the kingdom is going to be taken away from him and taken from his family. Saul also knows that someone has been anointed king or is going to be anointed king, and he's kind of figured out it's going to be this guy David. So in the story, Saul, instead of trusting God and being repentive and being willing to do what the Lord, what would have been a Christ-like thing to do, Saul tries to kill David. And even though David was one of Saul's best warriors, David killed Goliath, David was a blessing to Saul a number of times, talked about how he went in and went out. David had done nothing to really cause this hindrance and this rupture in the relationship. In this chapter, we're going to see that what men pursue, and there's an underlying thought in this chapter as you're reading it. Saul, the first king of Israel, God gave him a great opportunity. He could have done great things with his life, but what does he do? He spends the majority of his life chasing around David while he's king. He had the opportunity to do things for the kingdom, to do things for his family, to establish his name. Even afterwards, God would have still used him, but instead, he chooses to use his time chasing David. Even towards the end of his life, you know what he calls himself? A fool. Because of he had this great opportunity, this great privilege, first king of Israel, but he was foolish. He pursued after, and David even talks about chasing a flea here in this passage of scripture, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. I think 6 years ago, we preached a message about chasing a flea and how many times men will go and they will chase after things and they'll chase after so many things in their life, but it's really, once you catch it, what do you have? Someday we will stand before God with what we've done with our pursuits and what we've done with our life since we've known Christ, or others will stand before God with the idea of what they did with Jesus Christ. Saul had these years to be able to do something, as we have years to do something for God. And how we respond to relationships will tell a lot of what God's going to be able to do and how God's going to be able to use us. You say, well, this seems kind of odd that Saul is chasing David. Well, you think about it, what is God doing with David? God is preparing David to be king. And in this preparation for king, there was many things that he has faced and many things he has to come over. But what God is teaching him is to be completely dependent upon him and himself. We learn that in this situation, and more than once, God had over and over protected David and saved David from Saul. Let's go ahead, and we're going to read the entire chapter 24, and we're going to give you a little commentary as we go through, and then we're going to look at three simple things. And these three simple things, I think, can be a help and encouragement, how we respond to people who do not like us, how we respond to people that are our enemies. And I want you to understand, there are people that have problems. There are people who have issues. There are people who aren't going to like you. I mean, no matter how kind you are, no matter how nice you are, how sweet you are, there are people that are not going to like you. I think I'm a pretty likable guy, but there are people who do not like me. Can you believe that? Yeah, I know you can. There's people who don't like my sons. You know, can you believe that? My wife. There's people who don't like you. And so, it's because people have issues. Here, Saul talks about, at different times, talk about an evil spirit coming upon him. He has pride, he has anger, and he has jealousy issues. And because of these different issues, the devil has caused this ruptured relationship between Saul and David. And in this relationship, even though David had done nothing wrong, Saul still hated him. And there are going to be times, and no matter what you do, even if you're innocent in this, there are going to be people who are going to try to hurt you and who are going to try to harm you, who are going to say bad things about you, who are going to do things that we really don't appreciate. But here in this story, we're going to see how David responds to this. I believe biblical leadership involves great humility and a yielded heart to serve the Lord. We must always care more about what people think about the name of our God than what they think about us and think about our name. Many times when someone treats us wrong and does us wrong, we want to get a pound of flesh. We want to be equal. We want to get even. We want to get equal. We care about how people standing around us say, well, you shouldn't let them treat you that way. But more important is how what people think about our God. More than anything, David was learning to put his faith in God here. He was learning how to trust the Lord with his life. All of us need to examine our hearts. And I'd like to look at tonight these relationships that many of us have that are ruptured or maybe need to be mended a little bit and check our pride levels and say, am I responding in a way that people can see God? And at the end, I'm praying that our prayer be, may God allow me to prove that I am like Christ by the way I respond to people who do not respond the right way to me. Listen to this. This is our goal. May God allow me to prove that I am Christ-like by the way I respond to people who do not respond the right way to me. Let's go ahead and jump right in here in 1 Samuel chapter 24. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines. Now, the Philistines, you see in chapter 23, I believe, is when they had David trapped and then the Philistines somehow attacked and they had to go fight the Philistines. Well, what that was, God was protecting because they had David trapped. And God was protecting David throughout this time. He had promised him he was going to be king. And because he's going to be king, David lives by faith and does the right thing so God can bless. That it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness at Engedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all of Israel. So he took the best 3,000 warriors he had, and David has a small group of kind of outsiders, probably at the most of 600 people altogether. So they bring 3,000 of the best to go fight David and his kind of band of men that are kind of a ragtag bunch, but they are also known as David's mighty men later on. Took 3,000 chosen men out of all of Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes, by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. So these caves and these ridges, this area is the place where sometimes people would go and settle in and relax and maybe animals sometimes. It's a very dark place and it's probably a big place if you're going to have 600 men in there. And you have the men there and they are lined up against the walls there. It's very dark. They see Saul when he comes in, but Saul does not see them. It says that he covered his feet. What does that mean? Commentators think one way or another way. Most commentators believe that he was going to rest for a little while. Some believe he was just using the restroom or relieving himself in that idea. I think he was going to rest because you're going to see here in a second in verse number 4. And when the men of David said unto him, behold the day which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand. So David's men that are there with them, they're probably tired of being chased. They're probably tired of being on the run. They're probably tired of living in the rocks where the wild goats are at. And they say to David, okay, David, this man, this wild man, this evil man that's been chasing you, God has delivered them into your hand. Be careful when individuals are trying to tell you something that God is the one that gave this to you. And be careful, you always stay to what God thinks about the issue. David disagrees. He says, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. Now, what it's saying here, that he came, they were up against the walls, Saul could not see them. He cuts off a portion of his skirt. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him. He was convicted by the fact that he would even choose to do that. The world would say, if this man is your enemy and this man's trying to chase you, then you have a right to kill him, that he's been delivered unto you. Just go ahead and slay him and then go ahead and get your revenge and go and be king. You were anointed to be king. That's what his men even said. And David instead takes his dagger, probably by his side, walks over and cuts off a portion of his clothing. But even while he did that, it says his heart was smote. He smote us. Be careful. God speaks to our heart. He wants us to be sensitive. He wants us to be sensitive to his leading and to his leadership. David here, even while doing this, he regrets doing it to a point that he says it's smote in the heart, that God was saying, this is not what you should be doing. Let's keep on going. And it says, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, and once again, he's staying his men. He's explaining to his men why he's doing this. Now, while all this is happening, Saul is resting here. This is why I think he was more sleeping than he was. So, you know, it was probably a large cave, probably went back to a different area. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. And David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my Lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. Now, this amazes me that he shows this respect. He still respects the authority and the position that there, you know, authority today is something that many times people do not respect. I wonder what the next generations are going to be like when no one is respecting authority today. And it's a biblical thing that we should respect our authority. David here is showing reverence to the king. It says here that he is down on his face and he is speaking to him. He bowed himself. Verse number 9, and David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt. He says, I don't know who's been telling you that I'm after you or that I'm trying to steal your kingdom or I'm trying to harm you or harm your family. He is being honest. And he says, I don't know who's saying this. And then David gives this example. He says, behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord hath delivered thee today into my hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee. But mine eye spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. So David is doing what he believes is right. He is not going to take out Saul. He's going to allow God to deal with it. Verse number 11, moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe. So he's telling Saul, hey, Saul, we allowed this to happen. We didn't let anybody kill you while we were in there. And to prove this, he says, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not, which means he had just as much opportunity to kill Saul as he would have been cutting off the robe. Now, he says, know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. And then this next phrase, the Lord judge between me and thee. Sometimes in some relationships, you're just going to have to give things. In all relationships, we should give them over to the Lord. But sometimes some relationships, because of the people that are involved, are not going to be able to be repaired. And we can pray and we can seek God's face, but many times we just have to leave things between God and them. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but my hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog and after a flea. So in this idea, it gets, why are you pursuing after me? Don't spend your time wasting your time after a dead dog or a flea, things that are not important. The Lord therefore be judge and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause and deliver me out of thine hand. And it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Now, some people believe that this was truly a repentive time when Saul was sorrowful. He was amazed by David's act of kindness, and because of his act of kindness of not killing him, and the mercy he shown, that this touched his heart. Some believe that because just next chapter later on, Saul is now chasing David once again, that if it was more of a hypocritical cry. But I believe that it does touch his heart some, because at that moment in time, if he still was after trying to kill David, he could have turned around and tried to attack David. But instead, he leaves him. It says, and he said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt with me, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me in thine hand, thou killest me not. Now that phrase there, thou hast showed this day, is speaking of his actions and the demonstration that he had to all the people that were there. There's 3,000 soldiers there. There's Saul that's there. There's David there, and David's 600 mighty men. Someday he is going to be king. They are going to remember how he treated Saul and what he did with Saul, and how God, he left it up to God to take care of things. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good, for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David sware unto Saul, and Saul went home. But David and his men gat them up unto the hold. So Saul leaves from the chasing for this moment in time, and David goes back into his hiding. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump right into the lesson, responding to ruptured relationships by faith. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us tonight. God, we are utterly dependent upon you. Lord, we need you to speak to our hearts. Lord, I know we can say things that are interesting and find historical facts and be amazed by what David did. But Lord, what we're looking for is you to take the word of God and speak to our hearts and our lives. Show us from the preaching and teaching of your word and from the words that is found in your scriptures that we can have kindness in our heart and how you can help us respond to people that even are our enemies or respond to those that don't treat us right. Lord, speak to us. Help us to leave this place more like you and a desire to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So three simple things. Just the first thing I want you to understand is, and I mentioned it already, you're not going to get along with everyone. If you read this story, there are times and places, there's people you're just not going to get along with. There are people that, whether it's by your own fault or not by your own fault, or because of a person's personality or because of a person, sometimes a mental disorder, sometimes relationships have been severed and sometimes relationships have been ruptured. So what do you do with those? What do you do with those that when people attack you verbally or when people are trying to attack you, do you respond by attacking? Well, we see what David does here. David respects King Saul. He respects the authority and position that God chose to anoint him. I want you to understand, we're not going to spend much time on this point, that yes, you're going to have problems with people, but make sure they have problems with you for the wrong reasons. Now, if you're stubborn, if you're hard-headed, if you're a sinful, an angry person, a jealous person, I could understand why David here would be upset with Saul. Doesn't give him a right to, according to what Scripture says, we're supposed to love our enemies. I could see that, though. But even Jonathan in the story, to 1 Samuel, Jonathan is Saul's son. He's saying, why are you after David like this? What has he done? He's only been good to you. There was a reason that Saul was upset because of sin. And remember, when we're dealing with individuals, when we're dealing with people, if because of sin in their hearts and sin in their lives, if we respond in a sinful way, does anybody get fixed? No. Does a situation ever get glory from God? No. If you respond in an angry way and you try to get even and you get that revenge and it makes you feel good and makes your flesh feel good for a little while, does it help you or the individual that has trying to injure you at all? It doesn't. David here says, look, I'm going to let the Lord judge between me and thee. I'm going to let God take care of the issues. And I think it's amazing that David here chooses to do this and teaches us an important thing, how we can respond to ruptured relationships. The Bible says in Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Second thing I want you to see is others will see how you respond to your enemies. Others will see how you respond to your enemies. David Gibbs says that children are God's little spies. They watch everything you do and they see everything you do. And it's important to understand that sometimes when you have a father who has issues with anger, many times that's passed down to the child and passed down to the grandchild. Why is that? Because they learn by watching. David is here and David is in front of, like I said, probably about 600 of his mighty men. His 600 men were saying, why don't you go kill him? The Lord deliver them in thy hand. And David responds in a way that he's trying to give God glory. Also, when he's there, and I'm sure that they hear the story, this is not just something that wouldn't have went through the ranks of the 3,000 men that were with Saul. They see him come out and they hear David and they hear David's voice and the men turn around and I'm sure they're spread out. I know there's some people that are posted here and some people are posted there. Not all 3,000 were probably in one group. They were all searching, but I'm sure everyone heard how David would use these words and how David would say things like, let the Lord be the judge between me and thee. It says in verse number 12, the Lord judge between me and thee. I want you to understand, when we fight with our enemies and when we criticize others that criticize us, we're guilty of the same things. How many times have God given us the opportunity to leave things in God's hands? But oftentimes what we want to do is we want to pick them up and we want to do things the way we desire. How many times have we demonstrated a little bit of faith and done things and taken things in our own hands? David here has been anointed to be king. He has been promised that he was going to be king someday by when Samuel anointed him. He believed this. He trusted this. Because of this, he went and he ran from Saul and God preserved him time and time again. And my desire is that people, when they see how we respond to others, not only is the individual we're trying to reach out to see Christ, but those that are around us see Christ also. Sometimes when we get home and we complain about people, complain about the pastor, or complain about what someone said or how someone hurt you or how we should take up and how we should get our revenge, many times the children hear what the parents say and they learn. I've seen many times when a child has been more mature than their parents in the way that they responded to situations involving other kids. Sometimes it's hard when one teenager offends another teenager. Sometimes that is tough. Sometimes a parent can be strong spiritually and respond in a way, let's render a verdict or a relationship here. Let's make sure we're saving this relationship and growing this relationship and help this relationship continue on with Christian brothers and sisters especially. I've also seen parents get involved and they be angry. They be frustrated. And it can be frustrating. And they take it out and the children see that. You know what they learn? They learn how not to respond. David had an opportunity to prove to his followers that he had faith in God. He had an opportunity to prove to them, hey, look, the Lord took care of us back here. The Lord took care of us here. The Lord took care of us over there. Now we're going to let God take care of this and let God take care of, be the one that judged between him and Saul. He was not going to take Saul. He was not going to lift up his hand to him. The Lord provides us the wonderful opportunity to prove to our closest associates that we're trusting God. How do you respond to your husband or wife? How do you respond to your children? How do you respond when maybe the bills come or when something doesn't go exactly your way? How do you respond when the neighbor reacts in the wrong way? Do you respond in a way, hey, let's get even. Hey, we could do this. Hey, we could do that. What are we teaching to those that are closest to us when something doesn't go our way? Like if Miss Karen tonight, when she was singing and was supposed to sing and she got upset and she made fun of Marcus and told Marcus, all you got to do is push the play button. Why didn't you listen, Marcus? Push the button. It says play. It's the little arrow back there. You know, she could have responded in an angry way. And you know what would have happened? we would all felt bad for Miss Karen because she needs some help. But obviously she didn't respond that way. Thankfully, she walked away, and I broke the sound system on purpose tonight so she could respond in a nice way. No, I didn't. I did not do that. The people who are closest with us, watch how we respond to those that hurt us. I mean, sometimes there are going to be people that have issues. They are. Sometimes people are going to be wrong, and sometimes they're going to think they're right. You ever been wrong and thought you were right? There are a lot of people like that. I'm probably one of those sometimes. And when I preach this message, when I see this example of David here and how David responds and how David is showing not only those 600 men that are following, hey, look, you can follow me and God's going to take care of it. He's showing to the other 3,000, look, even though you're after me and even though you're going to try to kill me and capture me because you're following Saul's orders, but guess what? I'm still going to let God be the judge. I'm going to let God take care of this. We could have killed them and everything would have been done. Would you consider how Jonathan would have thought if David would have killed Saul that way? You know, in a way that he's just laying there, he's not able to protect himself, and he just sneaks up in a cave in the dark and kills him. To me, I think that Jonathan and David, who knows what would have thought? Who knows what the kingdom would have thought? Who knows what those 3,000 men would have thought, thinking, man, that was a cowardly way to kill Saul. But no. What does he do? By faith, he takes that step and says, you know what? I'm going to respond the way I believe God wants me to respond. I'm going to respond in a way of demonstrating grace and demonstrating mercy and demonstrating a heart that wants to heal this relationship. First thing, you're not going to get along with everyone. Second thing, others will see how you respond to your enemies. And I know I've only been in the ministry for 14 years, but it is so true that there are people who will watch and are watching and watching. And when you say that you're Christ-like and you're a Christian, you want to be and do all these things, when they see you respond, it takes an effect. Make sure you're raising your children with this idea that those that are closest to you respond to the rupture relationships right. Third thing is, I want you to see how David responded to his enemy. And I think this is a good way, a picture of how we can respond to those that we have ruptured relationships with or our enemies or those that are struggling. The first thing I want you to see is verse number 8. And David arose and went out to the cave and cried after Saul, my lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. So three things I see here in verse number 8 he does. Number one is David took the first step. There's a problem in the relationship. There's a rupture in the relationship. There's something that's going on. There's something that's wrong. You know that you have a problem with me or I have a problem with you. David takes a first step. It's amazing. In the New Testament, the Bible teaches us that Jesus taught us that if you have aught against your brother, you should go speak to him. And you know what? If it's his fault, you know what? You're supposed to go speak to him. If it's your fault, you're supposed to go speak to him. Why is that? Because the relationship is more important than our pride. The relationship is more important than what people think about us. Instead, we care about what people think about God. Not only does David take the first step, the next thing is David humbled himself before Saul. He looked at him, he says, David stooped his face to the earth and bowed himself. You know, not only did he not kill the man, he felt bad about cutting his skirt. And what does he do? He gets on his knees and he bows down and he reverences and respects him, even though sometimes our authority might do wrong, but it does not mean you have the right to not respect them. So be careful when you're talking to someone else. Make sure that not only do you take the first step, but you humble yourself. You say, I have no problem telling somebody else what they did wrong to me. I have no problem telling somebody else all their problems and why they're the problem and why they're the issue and why they need the help. That's not what David starts off doing, is it? He takes the first step. He humbles himself. And then he honors Saul. Be careful when you're speaking to someone. Are you trying to mend a relationship? Are you trying to get God glory out of this? Are you trying to exalt the name of God with your actions? Or are you just trying to get even and make someone else feel bad? Next thing you see in verses 9 through 11, David spoke the truth about the situation. David didn't look at it from his perspective or Saul's perspective in a sense. He just spoke the truth. So when you go up to someone, prayerfully take the first step. Make sure you do it with a humble spirit and also with a time of trying to honor God and honor this relationship and fix this relationship. But look what it says in verses 9 to 11. And David said to Saul, "Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt." He's saying, I've heard that you think that I'm after you. He says, that's not true. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father say, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. He spoke the absolute truth, but he also speaks about him cutting that piece off. He speaks about where he could have been wrong in this. He goes to him and he says, hey, Saul, I've done this, and this is how I look at the situation. People are telling you that I'm trying to hurt you and you're hunting me. God gave me the opportunity, but instead of this, I go and cut off a piece of your skirt. I could have hurt you if I wanted to, but I did not. Sometimes the misunderstanding between two believers, if they would just simply sit down and talk out things and do it in a way that is in humility and do it in a way that's going to honor God, you can come to an understanding. Hey, look, we might disagree on something, or you might even understand and say, hey, I thought you meant this and I thought you meant that. And usually misunderstandings between believers can be easily reconciled if they will take and be humble and be honest and speak the truth and declare the guilt that they had in it. David here, if he did wrong and God smote his heart for cutting off the skirt, he admitted to it. He says, I've done this wrong. Next thing, you see, David committed himself to doing the right thing. In verses 12 and 13, it says, the Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon thee. And as saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but my hand shall not be upon thee. So the next thing is, not only do you take the first step and you, with humble heart and humility, you go to honor God with your relationship. You speak the truth. If you've done something wrong, you admit what you've done wrong, or you speak to the person what you have done to offend them, and then you commit to doing the right thing. David here says, I am not going to hurt you. He said, let God be the judge of me and thee. In verse number 12, he says, the Lord avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon thee. I am not going to do wrong and slay you. No matter what anybody else says, I'm going to commit to do what's right. And when you have a ruptured relationship, you go to them and said humbly and say, I'm sorry if I've offended you. This is what I've done. I can see why this might have offended you. I want God to get glory in my relationships, and I am going to commit to do what is right from now on. Next thing I want you to see is David places his hands, his case, in the hands of the mighty God. And he says to him, I'm going to leave it up to God. It says verse number 14, it says, after whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog, after a flea? The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and seed and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. You know, there's sometimes where you just have to say, I'm going to have to let God take care of this. This is it. Our relationship, we're struggling here. There's a rupture relationship here. We need to work on things. And we're just going to have to let God be the judge between me and thee. And I'm going to leave it in God's hands. Sometimes we want things to be fixed just like that. Sometimes the perfect answer, if everyone would just agree with you and they would get it right and they would ask you for forgiveness and they would just come to you and say, you are so right and you are so great, everything would be fine, but you're not God. They're not supposed to do that. They're not going to do that. But at the same time, we can say, maybe we have to learn how to just let God decide and let God be the judge between me and thee. But I'm going to commit to do what's right, and I'm going to commit to honor God in my relationship. That's not by being selfish. That is not by being jealous. That is not by being in a way, dishonoring to the Lord. So when I see this example of David, I want us to bring back to this thought. We should desire that God would allow us to prove that we are Christ-like by the way we respond to those who do not respond the right way to us. When you're sitting in the car and somebody cuts you off, yelling at them, they can't hear you, first of all. But secondly, the people that are with you, they see how you're not responding the right way. Stop looking at one another, okay? I know that somebody probably yells at the drivers. And sometimes I get a little less patience and say, could you at least go to speed limit? Things like that. But, you know, there are things we just got to get to the understanding is that there are those that are closest to us, those that we want to do right, and those that we want to serve the Lord, those that we want to join together, church family, extended family, you know, close-knit families, those that we want to see grow in the Lord, they watch us and they see us. They see how we respond. I grew up in a church where I knew so-and-so on this side didn't really like so-and-so on this side. So-and-so on this side wouldn't talk to so-and-so on this side. They use different sections. They go out different doors, and they would never talk to anybody. As a teenager, I thought that was odd. It's not supposed to be that way. People see it. People know it. Younger Christians, even older Christians, it hurts your testimony. We should always desire to have the fruits of Spirit in our life. We should always desire to let God reign and control in our life. You say, well, Pastor, who does that? Someone who lives by faith. Someone who says, I trust in God, I'm going to please God with it. And we see in this relationship that Saul get it. Well, Saul doesn't turn around and kill the guy. And Saul does say, I know you're going to be king someday. You know who's hearing that? The 3,000 of his best mighty warriors. That group that someday is going to follow him into battle against the Philistines. That group that someday is going to go, you know, you never know what God is going to do and how God can take and work together the good that's in your life. The things that you, when you do right by faith, God can make something out of that. Now, we know that the bad things in your life and the fruits of the flesh in your life, God's not going to take those and work those out for your good. Those are things you have to get right, but he's going to take those things that are in your life that you give him the opportunity to show and demonstrate his power, his glory, and it's going to exalt it to others. We want people to see God. We don't want people to see us. We want people to see Christ in us and how Christ lives through us. And we want God to get the glory. David here tells this story. His army men did not even understand. The 3,000 men probably thought maybe he was weak or couldn't figure out why he didn't kill him. But in the end, what happens? God gets the glory, and then David becomes king, and he unites the kingdom, and God uses him in a powerful way. You're never going to heal a rupture relationship in the flesh. You need to be working in the spirit. It's a hard thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do, but God will help you do it. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.